From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi today announced that the Trump administration is launching a civil lawsuit against Maine for allegedly violating a law preventing discrimination against women. Steve Missler has more.
The lawsuit is the latest development in a conflict over a Maine law that allows transgender athletes to compete on girls' sports teams. The Trump administration asserts that the state is violating Title IX, and Bondi says its lawsuit will seek injunctions to end that practice, restore state titles to girls defeated by transgender athletes, and potentially retroactively pull federal education funds.
We tried to get Maine to comply. We don't like standing up here and filing lawsuits. We want to get states to comply with us. That's what this is about.
Bondi also acknowledged that the federal government has canceled grants and funding to force Maine to comply with the Trump administration's interpretation of Title IX. Last week, a federal judge blocked the U.S. Department of Agriculture's attempts to freeze funds for a school nutrition program. In a statement, Governor Janet Mills said the lawsuit is the latest salvo in the Trump administration's attempt to force Maine to ignore the Constitution and the rule of law. She described the federal government's investigations as politically motivated, predetermined, and designed to hurt Maine people. She said Maine will not be the last state to end up in President Trump's crosshairs. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Meantime, an Aroostook County school board voted unanimously this week to align district policies with the Trump administration's interpretation of Title IX. As Caitlin Bodian reports, the district will now recognize only two biological sexes.
MSAD 70 voted Monday to amend district policy to recognize only biological males and females, and that all private spaces be separated by biological sex, according to Superintendent Tyler Putnam. He says the board has been discussing the issue since February, and residents have been able to speak on the matter during board meetings. Putnam says his goal is to ensure all students feel like they belong and can get their education in a comfortable environment, and says he'll continue to support students' individual educational needs. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bodian.
Hospitals, health clinics, and pharmacies in Maine are urging state lawmakers to support a bill that protects access to a drug discount program that they say serves as a lifeline. They say pharmaceutical companies are trying to place restrictions on the 340B program, which allows rural health providers to purchase drugs at a discount, then use the savings to help provide care to underserved patients. But as Patty White reports, how much those dollars support patient care isn't clear.
The 340B program was created by Congress more than 30 years ago to help safety net providers stretch scarce resources and reach more patients. And Lori Dwyer, president and CEO of Penobscot Community Healthcare, says that's exactly how they use the program.
340B is critical to our mission.
Dwyer told lawmakers on the Health Coverage, Insurance, and Financial Services Committee Wednesday that the center has used savings from the program to increase access to low-cost medications, expand recovery programs, and to start a statewide program to address overprescribing of controlled substances. But Dwyer says for the past several years, pharmaceutical companies have placed restrictions on 340B. As a result, the center lost $5 million in 1 year and had to cut some of its services.
These attacks on rural healthcare providers by some of the largest corporations in the world serve their profit motives at the expense of Maine's safety net.
Hospitals in the program have also lost millions, says Jeff Austin of the Maine Hospital Association.
And the last 5 years, losing that has been really detrimental. It's not the only cause of our problems, but it is a significant portion of the challenges we face.
Austin says pharmaceutical companies are trying to shrink use of 340B in several ways, including by limiting the number of pharmacies providers can partner with to dispense drugs. A bipartisan-sponsored bill would prohibit drug manufacturers from placing such restrictions on the program. But pharma spokesperson Rachel Cottle-Latham says 340B has seen staggering growth and is not being used appropriately.
What we do not support is the ongoing misuse of a program that was intended to serve patients, but is now being leveraged as an unchecked revenue stream for large hospital systems and for-profit entities.
Some research has found that it's providers who benefit the most from savings under 340B, and it's unclear whether the program actually results in better healthcare access for underserved patients. That's why several consumer advocates told lawmakers that more transparency is needed before enacting a law. Meg Garrett-Reed is the executive director of Maine's Office of Affordable Healthcare.
The most important point I'd like to make in my testimony today is that this issue is not as simple as a choice between healthcare providers and pharmaceutical manufacturers.
Trevor Putnacki of the Healthcare Purchaser Alliance of Maine says federally qualified health centers, such as Penobscot Community Healthcare, are subject to more transparency requirements, and they appear to be using the program as intended by offsetting costs for patients. But he says it's less clear how other providers are using the savings.
I would ask, if all this money is justifiably being used to lower the cost of care, then why can't we have more transparency in the program?
Putnacki told the committee, you can't fix what you can't measure. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Farmers rallied in Augusta today to protest funding cuts and staff layoffs at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The event came days after the Trump administration canceled another program that was slated to provide millions of dollars to help make Maine farms more resilient to a changing climate. Kevin Miller reports.
The rally began with a rare sight, at least for Augusta. More than a dozen tractors and other farm vehicles rumbling down the streets surrounding the Maine Statehouse. The 100 to 200 rallygoers stopped and cheered for the tractor parade. Before regathering beside the Statehouse, to hear from farmers who say recent USDA cuts, layoffs, and contract suspensions are harming Maine's small local farms.
We don't need to add more reasons why farmers can't make it. Our government needs to stop supporting billionaires and start supporting farmers.
The rally was organized by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. MOFGA Executive Director Sarah Alexander says Maine has lost $4 million to purchase food from local farms for schools and food banks. And Alexander says the administration is also holding up $12 million worth of contracts that had already been approved by the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service.
The cuts to USDA staff in every Maine county have been at least 20% of the workforce. This is not okay.
Some money was frozen and later released, and other grants appear to be delayed but not yet canceled. But earlier this week, the USDA did cancel a grant program to encourage more climate-friendly farming techniques. Maine projects were slated to receive $3 million from the program, but the Trump administration dubbed it, quote, a Biden-era climate slush fund. Alyssa Adkins of Farthest Field Farm in Freeport says USDA grants, like the Smart Climate Program, helped her and her partner start to build a farm better able to weather Maine's changing climate.
The Climate Smart Commodities grant was a lifesaver in this respect. It helped with these crucial supplies in our second growing season, and we had been counting on it in this, our third season, and beyond, especially as we lost our off-farm income.
There was clearly an anti-Trump undercurrent at Wednesday's rally. Some held signs declaring fund farms not fascists or farms against Trump. Multiple speakers lashed out at Elon Musk's Doge program while suggesting that federal agricultural policy, under Trump and previous presidents, favors large-scale agriculture at the expense of small farms.
Just yesterday, our so-called president made a statement that America will take care of its farmers and help those affected by his ridiculously poorly managed tariff war.
Steve Sinise and his family run Old Crow Ranch, a livestock farm in Durham.
Funny how taxpayers can bail out large, monocrop, CAFO corporate farms that already receive subsidies, but as small farmers of America, we have to fight our own government to get the funding already approved by Congress for programs that have been around and used efficiently for decades.
Later in the program, Sinise presented Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree with a 5-gallon bucket containing hog manure, although he used a different word than manure.
I told Ms. Pingree, when she's ready, I'm ready. Spreader's going to Washington.
Pingree, an organic farmer who sits on the House Agriculture Committee, has herself joked about inviting farmers to dump manure on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. so she laughed at the symbolic gift, before launching into her own criticism of Trump, his tariffs, Doge, and the recent cuts to USDA.
But really, what is wrong with the USDA? What is wrong with this administration? To say that they believe in farmers and that they believe in the process that we've got going on here, but yet they are breaking these contracts.
The other three members of Maine's congressional delegation, Democratic Representative Jared Golden, Republican Senator Susan Collins, and Independent Senator Angus King, have also criticized cuts to USDA programs in Maine. The USDA did not immediately respond to a request for comment about the rally. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
State lawmakers also heard testimony today on several bills that would limit student access to cell phones during the school day. Beth Lambert of the Maine Department of Education says the department is neither for nor against the legislation, but she cautioned against taking away phones in an increasingly digital world.
Instead of chasing devices, we need to teach discernment. That means investing in digital literacy, privacy awareness, and self-regulation skills. Skills that will serve our students in any tech environment they encounter.
Lambert says the Maine DOE is already working with schools to find ways to deal with phones. And she's worried that the bills might create mandates that won't work for every school. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, modern-day poets from Maine. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.